everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping all the meat in the middle of the square circle. What are they doing? Telling stories in the process, brother. Of course, I'm GB. You got Matt as well as Jake, as always, to talk about the things happening in the world of pro wrestling. And this is our Friday show where we cover everything that happened in WWE. By the way, make sure you check out our TNA episode. And hey, get ready for AEW Dynasty. You got our Dynasty episode on Wednesday that came out. So make sure you go and check that out as well. Fellas, though, we're excited. What's going on this weekend? Jake, I know we spoke about some basketball last time. This is it, right? Final Four?
Final Four is this weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are going to,
Final Four is this weekend and the national championship is Monday.
Oh, okay. So Monday, yeah. The Monday coming up. Wow. Mm-hmm. Why Monday?
For some reason, they like to do that.
It's a school night.
I mean, the college football national championship is on a Monday and everybody's like, why are we like doing this?
Yeah. Right.
College football has always been on that's a Saturday event.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't it on a freaking Saturday?
That's bizarre.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know why it is what it is, but it is.
It is what it is. Matt, what you got going on this weekend?
Well, tonight when this episode releases, I'll be going to the United Center to attend a Chicago Bulls game.
Woo!
So first one of those I've attended in a long time. And then
nice. The
next morning, get up and get on a plane and go to New York.
Hey, my neck of the woods, baby.
In Staten Island. For a wrestling show.
Oh, okay. What promotion?
All right.
Very boy. It's called Warriors of Wrestling. It'll be another vaudevillains tag scenario. Nice.
You guys have been doing a lot of tag matches lately.
Yeah.
Has it been fun to go out there and
hey,
do that?
Hey, stretch a little before this one, will you?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one I'm not going to be stuck in a car for 6 hours and then have to jump right into a match.
You're going to fly, maybe get a good night's rest. Yeah, you'll be.
No good night rest, but I will fly and land.
What
and
is
go
a good
right
night's
show,
rest?
But I should have more. I should have more time.
Yeah,
this is good night's rest you talk about.
Yeah,
I will not be out of time.
Yes,
as they say.
Oof. God, that hat's so sick. In case you're listening to the pod, Jake has an awesome Back to the Future Out of Time license plate hat that he got custom made. Really
and
good.
And I did it like themed like it's the it's the DeLorean.
It looks like a DeLorean.
That's what
this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows, he's a knower. He knows things.
I think things through.
That's right. He thinks it through. He looks for things unlike Matt.
You're hearing what I'm saying,
settings.
But you're not listening.
He doesn't look for the settings in his games or his podcast applications. I'm just going to enjoy that this week. And then
it's supposed
and then
to be 11 p.m. here in the central United States. I am so sorry.
That's true. You know what, Matt? You're so right. So let's go ahead move on to our.
I say that as if GB hasn't stayed up till like 1 in the morning in China to do this damn show.
So.
I also woke up at 6 a.m. today and I've been working.
Yeah. You're going.
No. Trust me, though. I feel you. And in the interest of time, let us move on because we asked you guys last week. We don't want to be a little current with our events. Mm. And we asked, Jake, what was it again? Remind the audience.
The question that I had posed last week is, what wrestling character do you think would be stupid enough to send evil plans to someone else via text? That was essentially what the question was.
And we
no
got,
topical relation at all.
Yeah. Nothing to do with, you know, electing.
Anything that happened in real life with
kids. Yeah, yeah. You know, not like an administration would use a commercially available app for government secrets. But anyway,
we're not trying to signal anything at all.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. There's no gate there. But let us share with our community, because it seems like Axel Explode had the right idea. So Axel says, I think Tangaloa is definitely leaking bloodline plans. And I think that an individual who could do that would be Ethan Page. I gotta say, Trips, Paul, can I call you that? Papa H, run with this shit. Run with this shit. Tangaloa being the leaker. Oh my God. That'd be
he's at home, injured, just pissed off. He's like, screw it, I'm telling him.
I just imagine I think even someone else may have said it in our Discord, which you can join the link below. I think someone had said in there about, and I had this exact same thought of if R-Truth had rejoined Judgment Day somehow.
Yeah.
And he's like texting everybody. Yeah. All right. So they told me to tell you this. And it's like, no, that's what we're going to do to that guy. And he was ready for it. And what he's ready. Doing?
Damn it, man. Yeah. For me, it was Dom. I thought Dom was just easy.
My bad.
Yeah. You know, that Dom felt like an easy target.
Carlito.
Yeah. For it's sure. Carlito. 100%. That's not cool. But you know who I think actually would do it? I was gonna say.
I don't think he would do it, but Heyman does have two phones and could easily get one of them mixed up.
Yeah, right. There's gonna be one of them. What you if know, he has a third one he doesn't know about?
He's the Pete Hegseth of the bloodline.
I was actually gonna say Chad Gable. Because I just think like he'll do it, but Gable, he'll do it.
Gable,
he'll do it as the Grande Americano. You know what I mean?
How dare you?
He's juggling a lot of identities. I mean, he's the leader of American Made. He's trying to be the best wrestler. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a luchador. He's
trying to advertise coffees. Like, everything.
Yeah, he's got a lot of plates spinning in the air.
Yeah, or Grande Americano spinning in the air, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
But yeah, thank you so much for that, Axel Explode. There was another question of the week that we had posed on Wednesday's show, which I'll repeat again so that our audience knows in case you're tuning in, you're just curious about it, and you are watching AEW Dynasty this weekend. We want to know from you guys what match you think closes the show, what match you think starts the show. We had a real good time with the starting the show conversation, so you might want to check that out on the Wednesday episode. Let us move on to some narrative notes. Yes, because we got a lot of stuff that happened.
Ooh, baby.
I'm going to also preface this and say to those of our astute viewers who are going to point out the things that are missing, yes, I know that the Legado de Fantasmas thing that happened isn't on here. We'll cover that when something happens there. There's a few things that we don't have on here because there's just too freaking much that happened across all of WWE this week. Matt, let's start at the top here. We got Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. They're in it seems like they're going to be in a match at Mania. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, also a match at Mania. Logan Paul, AJ Styles, also looking toward Mania. Which match are you excited for of this bunch?
Out of this bunch, I have to say I'm probably... I mean, Randy and Kevin, I think, has the most deep-seated, longest story. You know, this goes all the way back to the fall at this point. So, There's a lot of, this is the biggest blood feud out of them. Though I will give a little bit of credit to Drew and Damian with the spot fighting onto the car, Drew getting absolutely planted, and then the shot with Punk
on real security. Glass.
Just looking over and smiling. That was a fun little aside and played into and helped. I think that segment did help add some fire to their feud, which I think is kind of being not pulled out of nowhere, but a little forced, a tiny bit between Drew and Damian. So I think that gave it a little bit of an edge, but no, I'm most excited for Randy and Kevin out of that bunch.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm excited for Drew and Damian just because I think it's just going to be a really good match. Both men are pretty much at their peaks right now. So I think this is going to be amazing. And you know what? Look, I don't really like the guy that much, but I'm looking forward to seeing what Logan Paul could do with AJ Styles. I mean,
that one, I just want that, again, feelings of Logan Paul aside, he's very an incredible athlete. So let them just put together something that is just a showcase of that.
Yeah.
Two guys who are really good at that. It's not going to be a wrestling match. It's not going to be a great pro wrestling match, but it'll be an athletic display that I think could be really, really cool. It could be kind of its own little niche on that WrestleMania.
And some streamer will get involved.
Of course. Speed will be back or whatever.
It'll be Tyson Speed or Mr. Beast will be there.
I get it, but I got to say, and look, I'm just going to leave this one question for the group just because curious to know what you guys think, but I don't know, man. Going back to Monday Night Raw and listening to that crowd, that wasn't a crowd that was like, "Wow, you're a bad guy and we're booing you." That's
go just, away. Heat.
They just want you gone. And I'm a little worried that, like, I don't know, that could like affect things and like leading into this, because I don't. But it's also good. I do feel like it can be good, because it's like you'd want that, right? Like, you want AJ to be the clear hero in this situation, right? But do you have AJ Styles lose at WrestleMania to Logan Paul? Oof. That'd be crazy. Yes. Yeah.
When Jake no. Paul comes and pulls him down from the phenomenal forearm.
Yeah, maybe.
Gives him a boxer right hand.
Yeah.
And they play into that whole gimmick, because you know they're going to probably help promote that stupid brother fight they're going to have.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it this summer or something like that?
They're fighting each other?
Aren't they? I thought they were.
No, they have a show, Paul American.
And they have the show for sure. Oh,
okay, because I don't mean this to be a hater. Well, maybe a little. I just couldn't care a damn any about less. Any of that. Yeah. And I see the ads, and I'm like, dude, I'm just seeing people who like.
Well, who's that for?
Have no understanding of what the real world is like whatsoever. It's like watching. No, I mean, look, it's for the people that like watching Keeping with the Kardashians. You know what I mean? It's just like flat out. Like that's like what that audience is looking for. Yeah. And maybe that audience tunes into WrestleMania.
Oh, there's a crossover for sure.
There's a crossover there potentially. But yeah, so again, we'll be keeping eyes, you know, on all of those matches there. But let's continue forward with the narrative notes here, because we had a freaking big.
Well,
thing
I
happen.
Guess I'm interested in the same match.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jake. I'm so sorry. No, I miss you, bud. What,
I don't know. No, I don't.
Here, the floor is yours. I'm giving you the solo shot scene. Just tell me your match, you sweet, beautiful sunflower.
I agree with Matt.
God damn it. God, this son of a bitch. This son of a bitch. Damn you. Damn you, Jake.
I do think that McIntyre and Priest could be kind of a surprising match, because it feels like they are kind of an afterthought. And no, I mean, no discredit to them, and it's not their fault, but it's just there's a lot bigger stuff. So I feel like they could have the kind of match where they're like,
"Take risk,
dude, let's just go.
Sure.
Let's just go do it, and let's
a little bit of a dark horse.
And listen,
it's going to be a heavy hitting match. Like a surprising too. Match.
It's going to be heavy because
big boys.
Those are big meaty men slapping meat. You know.
Yeah. So I think that could really be a dark horse for a really good Mania match. So
couldn't agree more, man. Yeah, without a doubt. Well, we also got to keep eyes on what's going on with the Women's World Championship, because this story really has gotten. Just so fun. Io Sky defeated Rhea Ripley for the Women's World title via double disqualification, because the referee was Bianca Belair, who wasn't paying attention to how to be a good referee in particular. She was more into, you know, how she was presenting herself.
She talked to one
herself.
Before the match.
She talked to, but you see, I really like what they're doing with this, guys. They're neither one is the bad guy, but they're doing bad things.
Yep.
Coming out of this, though, Jake, do you see a clear bad guy potentially? And who would that be?
I don't. And that's what I like about it.
Oh, okay.
Like,
cool.
I want them all to have their own complex feelings and whatever. And that's what I think is fun about this match, is I think all three of them are going to collide, and all three of them are coming out of Mania different. That's really kind of how I feel like it's heading. Like, it's heading not for a character reset or for anything, like, but like, we're leveling up.
Yeah.
Like, this match is going to have everyone level up to a new version of their character. I think you're going to see we've seen the have fun and hop around and hug kids and have a good time, smiling, laughing, you know, version of Bianca Belair. But I think she's getting more. A little more serious.
Yeah.
She wants, you know, she really wants to get her hands back on gold. And, you know, she just went through what essentially is a horrific divorce.
Yeah.
You know, she went through the equivalent of that. And now she doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
She just does not trust anybody. And she has a valid reason for feeling that way. It's so refreshing and interesting to see wrestlers and wrestling characters have complex human emotions. Who knew that those kind of characters are fun? But I think it's the same for Rhea. You know, Rhea has learned a lot. Yeah. If you didn't watch her backstage promo a couple weeks ago after she lost the title, do yourself a favor and go check it out because it was fantastic.
Really good.
But I'm getting more and more excited for this match the more and more they do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know that this is where it's going, right? But mm-hmm. and I'm curious though, is there a possibility, Matt, that Rhea isn't in the match? And that is part of the story.
There's a possibility. I don't think it's a big one. But it's there. I mean, it's there if you
want to. That's what she said. Yeah.
If you want to tickle it a little bit, flick at it, see if it, see if it responds. Yeah, it's there. It but like,
okay.
I have a hard time seeing WrestleMania without Rhea Ripley in a match, and considering how she's been part of this, got to be in this. It's got to be a three. I think, if anything, I think we see.
That's an action figure. Look, good Lord.
Yeah.
Honestly, Bianca Belair is so impressive, and she makes her own gear too. Like, yeah. What can she not do? It's insane.
Oh, she's nuts.
Yeah.
Referee. Yeah. But anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, allegedly. Just, anything I see Rhea Ripley, big heel turn at Mania.
Yeah.
Is kind of what my gut is telling me.
Ooh, so you think Rhea Ripley's the one? I feel like Bianca's the one that's giving me the vibes, kind of to Jake's point.
Why.
Oh, because you think you think it's the swerve. You think you just
not
getting...
like a swerve. Again, they all the two challengers are both very vitriolic. They're very hot headed right now.
Yeah.
But I think Rhea is just going to be, after losing, because I still do think Io Sky will come out ultimately, because I think the other two are going to tear each other apart.
Yeah.
And I do think Bianca will have to ultimately go back to settle
this beef.
Naomi Jade stuff. I think she's going to go back to that. Maybe that'll be a triple threat too at some point. So I think she'll stay in her kind of baby face.
Oh my God, what a fucking match that would be.
Yep.
So I think Rhea's in not winning. Because I think you're just like, oh, okay, I made a mistake. I screwed up, took my eye off the ball, and I lost. But I'm getting back into this match, and I'm winning. Because that's what Rhea Ripley does. She wins. She dominates. Mommy's on motherfucking top.
Yeah.
And when she can't do that, she's going to lose it a little. Mm. And I think she's going to be like, it's going to be that DTA. And we could,
We could see her go down the same path that we've seen Drew McIntyre go.
Mm. Maybe. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
A similar, yeah. Yeah, just like a lesson learned. Yeah, like you said, DTA. And just
go from there.
I'm on my own.
All right.
Wolfing it.
This is a continuing development. Obviously, we have plenty of time before Mania comes up, but so far, this has very much been a story led by Rhea and Bianca, with Io as champion. Kind of not, I don't, it's weird because I don't even want to say that she's been like, sidestepped, because that is the story,
That's
like
part
that
of
is
the story.
The story. So
sure.
It's like
that they're overlooking.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to feel like that. So I really find it funny that like a lot of people online are just like missing that note and like right over their head. It's like, guys, they're literally telling you in the middle of the ring that they're ignoring Io Sky. Like, come on. But we'll see. Let's go back to the narrative notes though, because if you trust in Finn, you'll win. Judgment Day defeated Braun Breaker and Penta in a tag match. Of course, this came after Penta got hit with a vicious spear from Braun Breaker, but there was a lot of shenanigans, Judgment Day stuff, the usual business here. Not really much else to dive into with this one. I don't know if you guys have anything to add. We could just move forward, but yeah, we'll see what happens here, right? Because there's also another like little underlying story that's happening that I think we're probably going to focus more on, and that is Liv Morgan actually destroying the Judgment Day, like actually doing the thing that she was accused of doing the first time. But I think we're seeing it start to get planted. We'll see.
Man, what if she's just been double agent this whole time, and this is all, and then she just pulls the rug out from under everybody?
I mean,
could be. That Jezebel.
It could be. Could be, but it does seem like her and Raquel, though, are rolling. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And then moving over to the women's intercontinental champion, Lyra Valkyria is going to be going up against Bayley. They'll be clashing for the IC title next week. A question that I have on this one is, how likely is it that Bayley wins? Can you see Bayley winning this one before Mania, so close to Mania, guys?
Yes. Yeah. I can. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Lyra obviously hasn't had the most definitive
great
run.
Wrestler has not had a very well-defined character or a chance to express, or hasn't found that or been given that, whatever it is. I think she is incredibly talented, but as a character is right now is very flat.
She is very, and this is going to sound weird, and I hope people don't take it the wrong way, but she's very much a product of the new NXT. You know, just like overall, like, you know, decent, right? Like overall, like has everything, but doesn't have like a defined thing. Has like a catchphrase and a song and like, you know, the walkout and stuff like that, but doesn't have like substance yet.
Missing that extra gear.
Yeah. And that's not a knock on like NXT wrestlers, because that is not true for all NXT wrestlers, but I notice it with the newer crop of NXT wrestlers, where it's like they're kind of like Carmelo Hayes, even though I'm liking what I'm seeing over there with him
coming into his own.
But
it's a different thing. It's a different thing entirely. I mean, you know, time is really made for you on NXT, it seems, and Matt would be able to speak more to that than any of us.
I mean, it's a very different gig than when I was there, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it, you know, yeah, I just feel like it. I mean, it's always been said it's harder to get over on the main roster.
Yeah. It's just difficult. And
it's no surprise. I mean, it's no surprise. Sometimes sometimes you connect with the audience, sometimes you don't, and you figure out what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and she will, she seems like, I mean, she had it in NXT.
Yeah. And the talent's there. The talent is unfreaking doubtably there. Her matches have been awesome. I've really enjoyed them. So I do think, and I think that this match with Bayley is going to be really good, but.
And maybe that's why Bayley's been inserted into this situation, is that she's going to like, okay, let's feel our way through this and see what we can pull out of you.
Yeah.
And Bayley's a great hand to do that with, I think.
This is true. So we'll, of course, be paying attention to what happens there, because there's certainly going to be something. I think by the time we're talking next week, folks, we could very well be seeing a title change in effect. Let us, though, move on to our next one. I want to make sure I find the pictures here real fast, but for now, we'll talk about it here. Oh, dear. Gunther just annihilated Jimmy Uso, and holy crap, that went. It started off, I was just like a normal match. You're like, oh yeah, you know, he beats him. You know, maybe he hits him with a chair, does something, maybe hits him with the belt. I didn't expect that though.
No.
But the question is though, well, overall, I want to get your thoughts on the segment. But where do you think, what do you think they should do next here? Where would you go if you were writing this story?
I mean, go ahead, Jake. Yeah.
No. I defer to you, sir.
The gentleman bequeaths the floor.
The gentleman bequeaths the floor. I was waiting to see what the resolution of that would be. Not disappointed. Okay, you've been bequeathed.
I've been bequeathed upon. Okay, so.
Okay.
I want to see Jay have doubt until he gets to Mania.
Hmm.
That's the direction I would take it.
Yeah.
I would take it in there. To where he's just like. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be interesting for Jey Uso to find main event Jey Uso in his Mania match.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want him to have that moment where he's like, you know, he realizes that he can do this, or, oh my God, like, you know, I do have a chance here, starts to gain, you know, more. Maybe the match starts off slow. It starts off at Gunther's pace, and Gunther is just like a lion batting around a little mouse.
Yeah.
And that's how it kind of starts out. And then Jay starts fighting back.
Yeah.
He's had enough. You know, he's tired of being embarrassed. He's tired of being doubted. He's, you know, now it's time for me to control my own destiny.
Yeah.
And find himself in that match. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I'm gonna say a hot take here, and you guys can. Mm-hmm. I think the Usos might be the best storytellers in WWE. Like, bar none. Look at all the things that they've been involved in. Seriously.
I mean,
like, they have been involved in so many good moments. This right here, that shot of Jay reaching to his bloodied brother as Gunther chokes him out, that was good cinema. That was just good TV. And
I mean, the
Usos were there for the bloodline and were involved in all that. So it's like the Usos are just... Or maybe just underrated. I don't know, but they're just
underrated. I think for sure
they're just too good. They're just too good.
So
I mean, that photo right there—that's
another fantastic one,
dude.
Yeah.
So my only thing before I get into where I think they should go, this is what this feud needed. We felt like it's missing that gear or whatever.
Yeah.
This kicked it up a gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My one, and this is probably me being really picky. Jay, I don't know what it was. His sense of urgency when his brother was being bloodied was a bit below what I think what it should have been.
Okay.
I felt like he was there. He was at like a 6. He should have been at a 10, trying to claw Gunther's goddamn eyes out. He should have been spitting, screaming, and cursing at him. There was multiple times where Jimmy is bloodied and Jay was kind of just standing there. Like, and I know maybe he was like seething kind of on the, but I'm like, I'm sorry. That's that moment. We need you. Fuck you. You fucking.
Yeah. I think that in that moment,
you need to blow yourself up.
Yeah. Visually visible.
Your family member's life is on the line.
Yeah.
The it monster is dragging them into the sewer. Like, that's that moment.
But it also mirrors how helpless Jay has already felt. You know what I mean? So sure. Like, I at the same time, I can understand him being like, even if I got out of here, what am I going to do? Yeah. I can't beat him. I've been screwing up this whole time. I'm not, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe he's
there was scared also
for his brother,
a sense of, I don't know why, but I felt like...
But I'm with you, Matt. I agree with you there. Sorry.
Well, I'm going to counter just a little, because that was not the vibe I got when watching it. The vibe I got was he was like genuinely like in shock. Like, he couldn't believe that someone would do this.
Whatsoever. Okay.
There were a few shots there that they show him looking shocked, you know, like worried.
It just, to me, it was just like...
Okay.
It wasn't... To me, I didn't read shocked.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I get where that's coming from.
Yeah.
That could be one angle to take it. I just didn't have
because there was also like that. At the end, he like grabbed his brother, he grabbed Jimmy, and you could hear him be like, why would you do this? You know, like there was like this like desperation almost that it sounded like. So that's why I took it as that, right? That being said, I can also understand your point of view, because I do think that one of the issues that WWE has had is that they kind of serve TV a little too much sometimes. And like, yes, the, you know, stoic face, the visual might hit, but like, to your point, him being more visibly angry and actually moving and doing things would have also brought the energy up from the crowd too. You know, who probably wanted blood in that moment in time. You know what I mean?
And I mean, and they got it. There are those times where I'm like, it's funny because you're right. I think they do try to think like cinema and TV and acting a little bit. Maybe they were going for some deep internal thing, but at the same time, I think sometimes you got to have that, like, what if it were real? Yeah. And if it were real and your actual right. brother was being bloodied by a thug in the street and you were locked to a fence, you would bloody your own wrist to you know what I mean? You would mm-hmm. chop your own skin off if it could mean you could get to and save him.
Yeah.
So like I wanted a little bit of that, but like that's why like I was thinking this worked well. We've got what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, we got a lot of time. Yeah.
I mean, that's not a lot of time. We got 3 weeks. That's 3 weeks. I mean, you know what I mean? That's three episodes of Raw. Three episodes of Raw.
Yeah.
But I think like my thought was like, we don't slow down here. That's why I was thinking like, we don't have these moments of doubt and everything.
Yeah,
now we
you?
Hit the pedal to the floor.
Yeah.
Now this is Jay's Stone Cold versus Vince. He's breaking into buildings, trying to get at Gunther's throat. Security's holding him back. Maybe Gunther bloodies him, Jay, but Jay keeps coming, diving onto piles. This is that I am a dog that you just unleashed.
He needs to be a psycho.
Like a little bit of that. And then I think the match to Jake, I think, is exactly how it'll go on the day. I think it'll be that.
Yeah.
I think he'll start off, despite all the heat going into it. He'll be unsure. He'll be that. And then I think he'll find himself in that matchup. But I think given how personal and literally bloody this got, I think you got to hit the pedal to the floor. And Jay is a man on a loose freaking cannon. You come for my family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You come
for the bloodline. You know what I mean?
You gotta get got.
Yeah.
Forget if I'm a better wrestler than you. I don't care anymore. I don't need to be a better wrestler anymore. I need to end your freaking life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm done worrying about being the better wrestler. I'm going to kick your teeth in.
That is so right. That is so right. I do think that also I just got to give flowers to Gunther. Everything about that was great. Guy grabs the blood, throws it across his chest, even tasted it.
I pledge my allegiance to Gunther. That guy is so good.
He's so good. Shout out to Jimmy too for being a perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
In that role and just that is
the Apollo Creed
note.
Perfectly.
Like, yeah, dude. Like, I know it sucks. Like, and it's got to be a confusing but awesome thing. And like, your brother's getting this shot, and like, you're kind of a tangential. So you're just kind of playing this role in it. But man, that is a pivotal part to play.
Yeah.
And like, it just came off so well.
Yeah, and even in the match, Jimmy was competitive, but then it was like, then it just became, you know, Rocky. It was literally the whole thing all over again. We're like, little by little, Gunther just wearing him down. Crazy stuff. So good. We'll, of course, see where this story goes, and it can go in a variety of different directions, but that is Narrative Notes. Again, so much happened. This happened last Friday. This was a week ago. CM Punk dropped the biggest banger at the end of a promo and confirmed to everyone that despite them being in the main event and despite him getting Rollins and Reigns, that was not the favor. He still has the favor. So they brought the favor back, which is awesome. But yeah, how do we feel about just that whole sequence? Because I gotta say, from Roman's part to Seth's part into Punk's part, woof, all that just flowed gorgeously from the production to the actual promo itself. So Jake, what was your make on it?
I mean, it was a great segment. Yeah. It was a great segment. They really, really did a great job building this as a blood feud of them just like, let's get it all out. Let's get it all out right now. And let's go fucking kill each other at WrestleMania. Man, it's interesting to me that it's going to main event, I assume, night one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's odd to me because that means not a single Royal Rumble winner is main eventing WrestleMania.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, man, it was just a great segment. The moment of Punk looking through the contract and Paul, did that feel like Punk was really learning that in real time to anybody else? Or did he just play that part really well?
Oh, he played that really well.
Yeah.
The dynamic of the three different characters was on display too, mm-hmm. which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you saw one thing that was interesting too, was when Punk was like, what do you want me to acknowledge you? Is that what you want? And you can see Paul shaking his head and being like, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. But I like the way he did it though.
I don't know.
I like the way he did it. Yeah. The way he did it was perfect. It was like how I think anyone with sense would like approach it. Be like, you know what? Hey, man, thank you so much for this. Because you know what? Mm-hmm. What you allowed is for me to whoop your ass. So thank you. I acknowledge you. And I also acknowledge mm-hmm. that I'm going to give you these hands. Yeah. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And like, I think that that is a really, like, I love this egotistical, cocky Roman Reigns who still thinks he's the king of the jungle, who still thinks he's like the guy, even though he is. It really is a fun a place for him to be in. Because even when you look at this picture here, right, and you kind of zoom in on Roman's face, and for those who aren't watching but are listening, this is a shot of Monday Night Raw when Paul Heyman and CM Punk were talking about the contract. And then in the background, you could see Roman Reigns just looking so smug and pleased with himself, Matt. He's like, yes, I did this. Right.
Well, and it's, I also love the dynamic of Paul has loyalties to both these guys. Roman has a lot of distaste for CM Punk, but with Paul there, the way I read the look is almost like, all right, buddy. All right. Go play with your old dog. You know, like he ain't going to be around much longer. It's fine. That's your old buddy from back in the day. I get it. But anyway, we know at the end of the day, like who you're here for.
Yeah.
But sure, we'll give him his little moment. It was kind of that attitude.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, you have Seth who's just kicking and screaming over all of it.
Yeah. And Reigns did it.
He's just a tempestuous child.
Reigns did it to annoy Rollins, right? That is the whole point. So like, there's so much coming out of this. I'm going to just put my fantasy book in. Graphic up real fast.
Oh,
and I'm just going to say something real quick. Okay. I see a few pathways here, but I'm going to say one of them that I think is going to be really fun. I think Seth Rollins is going to sell out. And that is going to, he's going to sell out a second time
to
The Rock. And I think this is all going to kind of start this process of Seth realizing I can't beat Reigns. Punk keeps getting in my way. So what do I do? Because he hates these guys.
The Rock across two different feuds.
I think that someone. So I was saying this to a buddy of mine today. Someone needs to be the avatar of The Rock, if that makes sense. Kind of like the way that Seth Rollins was the forward-facing person of the, what were they, the authority or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like Seth was that guy. You need someone to do that, and. And I could see, and like The Rock has been praying.
Final sub boss.
Yeah. And The Rock has been preying on people's desperation, right? Like that's what I've gathered from it. Like John Cena is desperate to get number 17, right? Cody Rhodes is desperate to hold on to his title, right? Well, Seth Rollins is desperate to end the careers of CM Punk and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. I don't know. That's my
penultimate boss.
An ultimate boss, you know, the sub
mini boss.
Mini boss is great, you know.
He's a mini boss.
The final mini boss.
The final mini boss. So yeah,
he's a yellow bar. He's not a red bar.
That's my theory for Rollins coming out of this. But I gotta say, I think all three of these men are gonna play pivotal roles. Across all the belts going into next year. Like, I think it's gonna be pretty wild. I'm excited, man.
And a quick shout out. My alternate 24/7 champion of the week from the other episode would have been Roman Reigns' teeth. Yeah. Have you noticed in the last
couple of years? The veneers are veneering, baby. The
veneers or like whitening. They were like, he looks like it's a mouth guard. It looks like, one solid sheen. It was like blinding.
Yeah.
Like, it, I mean,
they would glow in a black light.
But like, yeah, I was like, holy crap. Like, it's
yeah,
just
I
so
didn't
stark.
Know how veneers worked. And then I looked it up and don't think I'll ever do that one. Because they got to like lift up your gums and then they place the fake tooth on top of your tooth. And that's how.
Again, I don't even know if that's what it is or if it's just like serious whitening or whatever.
He did a crazy teeth whitening. Yeah. Or he did that.
It's looking clean.
It's true. I mean, shout out to good dental hygiene. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's our
hygienic chief.
And bleach.
Yeah. That too. I mean, I don't know if there's much else to talk about with this. But yeah, I mean, it was just so good.
And I love that it is a huge marquee triple threat match, three of the top names in the company, in the business, which is already a seller. But I do love that we have this ambiguous favor hanging in the air. It just gives it what is already a marquee matchup just for pride's sake. It gives it this little extra layer of, ooh,
mm-hmm.
Here's a question. Do you think they know what the favor is?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
What do you think the favor is?
I don't know if they knew back in November. I think they know now.
Yeah, I think I have an idea of what the favor is, but I'm not 100% confident because I also have another theory about Punk.
At first, I said a couple episodes ago, maybe it was even the last episode, that I think it's that Punk is going to tell Paul to help him beat Roman.
And that's what the
favor is. But at the same time, I'm like, maybe he's not even using it for this match.
Mm.
Maybe it's something after the fact or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we'll talk about it as we get closer to it. But something tells me, too, that Punk will win. And this is like going to start the 2025 being like the year of Punk, you know? And that also really changes what happens in this matchup, right? Because does he need the favor to win the match? Like, I don't know. You know, like he's clearly being put in the, you know, if you want to go by WWE 2K ratings, he's clearly in the 90s with everyone else. So I don't know.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't he use his favor for something else that would give him a title shot?
I feel like the favor has got to get it's Punk has
it
all
might
been
not
about,
even be related to Roman at all.
It's
been all about getting back to that world title, and so I feel like it's going to be tied to that somehow.
I have a feeling that the favor is something tied to an inevitable CM Punk John Cena match for the world title.
I do too.
Yeah, and because that's just money. Run that back. Money in the bank.
Is there a world where maybe even on the night of WrestleMania, night one, we find out in the ring, Punk leans over and whispers to Paul or whatever, and he goes to the ring announcer. Paul has negotiated this match now. Whoever wins tonight will be added to the world title match on night two of WrestleMania.
Oh, shit.
It's a weird one. And I think they're going to keep it focused on Cena and Cody Rhodes. So I don't think this is likely, but like, is there a world where Punk usurps that match, usurps Cena's 17, and then Cena and Punk go crazy into the summer?
Oh, shit.
Don't think so, but it's an interesting timeline.
Yeah.
It's a fun thought exercise for sure.
It's a stretch, but man.
It kind of leaves Cody in the dust, which sucks, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought experience.
Well, I can also see Cody, when all this is said and done, I could see Cody going to like Raw to fight for like the world title and just kind of like prop that up as well. That is also a strong possibility. So, fun fact, when we were talking about doing the episode, I was like, yeah, you know, what we'll do is, you know, we'll do some narrative notes and then we'll just make our only topic the SmackDown promo unless something big happens on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah, and Raw had already happened at that point. And
Raw hadn't happened at that point.
No, and it then, had.
Or
no,
I sorry. Had. Well, Raw had happened. Yeah. It hadn't happened for me. Raw had happened at that point.
Yeah. And we were all like,
"You're." And literally, the editor Scan, who's probably watching this right now as he edits it, he's probably like, "Yeah, I told you. You might want to tune into Monday Night Raw because a lot of things happened." And one of those things, fellas, I'm just going to ask a question. Did we witness one of the greatest promo segments between two wrestlers of all time? Between Cody Rhodes and John Cena, from that promo that they did, that whole opening segment that they did on Monday Night Raw. Let's just talk about it first. Get your thoughts on it. Matt, I know you know John Cena. I know, you know, I mean, we all know Cody. Like, you know, so like, obviously, these guys are talented as all hell.
Oh, yeah.
That was, to me, that was different.
It was not one of the best of all time.
Okay, okay, that's fine. That's
it was
fine.
Really, it's tough because I'm like, I want to go back. There are obviously a lot of really.
You're saying
really
it's
good
not
ones.
One of, it's not the best of all time. Would you say it's one of the best of all time?
I don't know. I'd have to go through a lot of old. Like, it did not. It jumped out to me as very good. It did nothing. It did not jump out to me as like, holy crap.
Interesting.
But it was like,
okay.
It was
okay.
Just that. Damn, this is really, really good. One of my things was, I love Cena being a heel. But some of his performances have been a little bit like, I don't know if he's just getting too into it because it's a little bit like he gets a little bit of like yelly, like, I'm gonna crush you. Like, yeah. He gets a little too cartoony almost. And the
but
first,
he might be doing that on purpose to play into a stereotype of himself.
Maybe. You know? And like, but like, so like the first chunk of the promo, like, this was a great promo where I just wanted them to talk to each other because their points were so good. At first, Cody did it great. The first chunk, Cena was doing a lot of like, I'm gonna tell, and then turning to the audience and just like yelling at them, like, you,
yeah.
And then at the end, in the middle of it, it came down to just me, him, and Cody, and it got way, way better, even though they were still shooting barbs at each other.
Yeah,
it was just a little too like, I'm going outward with this. When I wanted, this could have been almost the whole time straight. It was just a little bit. And I'm being very, 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 very nitpicky.
Hey, and that's fine. That's what we do, you know?
But it was so good. And I was so happy to see something different after kind of 2 weeks of a very similar beat.
Yeah.
I even liked Cody cutting him off before he even spoke. Because, like, yeah, no, we're not going to do this again. I thought it was really good, and we got our first bit of physicality, which is nice too.
We did.
Nice button.
Yeah. Jake?
It was a phenomenal segment. It was a phenomenal segment. I love that they made it seem like it's going to be the, here we go again. Cena's going to come out and talk his shit, and then Cody's going to come out and talk his shit, and then that's the end of it. And how, yeah, like you said, Matt, before Cena could say a word, here comes Cody. And Cody steals his thunder, starts, you know, doing the classic, I'm going to make fun of myself so that you have no ammunition.
Yeah, he did the he did the B-Rabbit strategy.
I'm going to get, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, he did that. And then John hits, you know, and then, but John is so good. It's because, you know, it was Cody thought he laid out all his insecurities. But John knows, no. That's not the shit you're insecure about. Let me tell you what you're insecure about. And man, he really started digging into him. Woo! And then, it was a great case of, I mean, it was up there for me with Cena and Rock going at it, because both of them were so great. Mm-hmm. And Cena has that tendency, as we've seen with lots of people, to just mow people down on the mic. Yeah. I mean, just like, it's crazy some of the shit that he does in his promos that just destroys another wrestler's credibility, right?
Yeah.
As far as their character goes. But Cody held his own.
Yeah.
I thought Cody came back with some great stuff. That was maybe more, even more memorable than what John said. And I thought that was just, It was a great final meeting of the minds and them not talking at each other, but with each other.
Yeah.
That's, and Matt, you're exactly right. That's what we've needed. We've needed this moment where they, it's not just your turn, my turn, end of segment. But no, this was back and forth. This was them feeding off each other, feeding off the crowd. The crowd was eating it up. And I was honestly surprised that the segment ended the way that it did. Not, I didn't really think that there'd be any physicality. And I certainly didn't think we'd see Cena laying there wiped out. Really selling Cody in the Crossroads.
Yeah.
So it's a great segment. I want to boil this shit down into something I can cook in a spoon and put in my veins. It's so good. Yeah, it's so fun.
It is.
This promo, I feel like though, like there may have been better ones, like better conversations, better, I think, actual like performances, whatever. But honestly, it is up there. And this might be one of the, like, just the pure capita of like great lines and like shots.
Yeah.
There were some great
just
lines.
Him saying like, I don't beat people.
I don't bury talent. I bury mediocrity.
Yeah.
Great line.
Yeah.
And then again, it was another one of those. All their points were like had validity to them.
Yeah.
Which is a great back and forth.
Yeah. Because like, you know, go for it, Jake.
I just like, but Cody being like, I'm getting the chills again. But Cody being like, you know, did you do all this on your own, or were you built by a billionaire in a suit who isn't here anymore and we don't talk about him?
That was wild. Like,
was insane. I could not believe that. Yeah, it just, man, did they go to some places that it was just like.
Well, and I think that one of the things I applaud Cody for over the course of his career, and I think he realized it as well, is the audience isn't dumb. You know, like a lot of people know that he left and he started AEW, and like they know these things. This isn't like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, this is it. So, you know, everyone knows that like John Cena was Vince McMahon's special little boy. You know, like he was all over the place. He was the guy. And you can argue till the cows come home about whether or not John Cena is the guy. I will argue he is. He has time and time again proven that even when they said he couldn't wrestle, which was a banger line, by the way, even that shit, I was like this. I was like, oh, that was on fire. Yeah. But even back then, when they said shit like he couldn't wrestle, what did John Cena go and do, right? And he said in the promo, it didn't matter what they gave him. He took it and turned it into gold. And you want to know what he was talking about? The United States Championship. Because that belt was meaningless. And I mean that with respect, because honestly, no one was paying attention to it. You felt like it was forgotten. Like fucking Dean Ambrose, John Moxley had that belt for like God knows how long, didn't even defend it. You know, like they just didn't care about the belt for whatever reason, right? But John Cena made that belt relevant. When they decided to care, they put it on the hands of John Cena and he made that shit pop off. And it's like that right there is like what makes John Cena the greatest of all time. Because you know what? You couldn't do that with Hulk Hogan because he wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Because he wouldn't do that.
It's not going to work
for me, brother. Nope, yeah. It's not going to work for me. You wouldn't be able to do that with any of those older guys. But guys like John Cena were like, yeah, let's do it. And then he goes out there, who was one of the first people he fought for that, who challenged him for that United States Championship. Stardust.
Kevin Owens. Oh,
that's right. And Kevin Owens and Neville or Pac. Like a lot of these guys,
spotlights, platforms to up and coming stars. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember that match with Neville and I was like, he's going to win it. Oh my God. And when he didn't, it was heartbreaking, but man, it was a good moment. That being said though, the other aspect of John Cena, which is what happened to a lot of those guys that he did give that spotlight to, right? Not all the results were peachy. You know, so there's like some amazing kernels of truth that these guys are slinging at one another. But now, you know, I guess the question is like, and we were talking about it before. So now what happens? What happens from here? Do we get more physicality? Do we maybe not get promos, but instead we get some more interviews? We kind of let this take a step for a moment before we do something big before the send home. What are you guys thinking, Matt? We'll start with you.
I don't know. I mean, kind of look at like last year. I think they're following a mildly similar playbook of the idea of like, we don't really need to have any matches for sure with our main event guys. They don't need to wrestle at all until Mania. And for a lot of people, they hate that. And they can go watch other shows that have much more wrestling built into that, which is totally a different thing. But for this style of storytelling, for this audience,
this is what they do.
I feel like this is going to be it's better told without wrestling until we get to the show. I don't see Cody doing Rose a match. In a tag match.
I can see him doing a singles match. Like they have a tendency to have him do like one singles match on occasion. And it's been a minute. So I can see that happening. But even then, that's going to be small.
I think he's working house shows though, isn't he?
Oh, is
From
he?
What I've heard.
Yep. Oh, okay. So then in that case, probably not then. Yeah. You're right then.
But that could be maybe like the final one. And maybe Cody Rhodes does a very John Cena thing and gives it could be kind of a neat thing of like, put my money where my mouth is. It's Cody Rhodes open challenge that Friday before WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whatever it is. And he has somebody answers it, a Carmelo Hayes or somebody Andrade. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody, they have a banger match and maybe that Cena, it gets thrown out. Cena interferes and lays the beat down and really sets us into a nasty,
real bloody moment.
Mania or something like that. You know what I mean? I can see physicality like that. But I think, to your point, maybe we'll get some side by side interviews, GB.
Oh, we'll no. I think what we're going to get is Michael Cole with individual interviews. I think we're going to get a Michael Cole John Cena interview. Which is going to be really fun because Cole's kind of been a little bit not in the story, but like he's talked extensively about how much John Cena has betrayed him personally. So I'm kind of curious if they go down
that could be a good angle. Remember like, you know, Stone Cold JR kind of stuff.
Yes.
Where maybe I don't think it'll be a sit, Mankind it could be a sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be in the ring. Where, maybe Cole asks some pointed questions and Cena kind of loses it. And then Cody has to run in to defend kind of thing. So we could get a little mix of physicality and interview.
And then fantasy booking.
Oh, go for it.
Michael Cole puts his streak on the line, his undefeated streak on the line at WrestleMania against John Cena for the title.
And now we determine.
Night one. That's night one.
Yeah, that's
who's the real
night
greatest
order.
Of all time. Oh, man. Damn. Yeah. Well, look, there's a lot of directions that we all know this is going to go in. It's going to be
gotta
wild.
It's got to get physical again.
It's got to get Cena's physical again.
Cena's not going to let that slide.
Yeah, there's got to be blood of some kind. Yeah. I think there's going to be some bloody moment, just like the way The Rock assaulted Cody last year. I think we're going to get a similar-ish moment of John Cena brutalizing Cody. It's going to be something. It's going to be something.
Nope.
What are you going to get? What do you think?
Nope. Because, and I think this leads into what we think is going to happen. I think they're going to play off that. They've already bloodied Cody. That's the thing. That happened at Elimination Chamber. We're going to do the opposite. It's a wrestling trope, but we'll do the opposite. Cody's going to bloody Cena.
Ooh.
I'm not the kid Rock messed with last year. I'm the face of this freaking company. I'm not the kid who drove you, blah, blah, blah. But then Cena wins on Sunday.
Lol, like Cena wins.
Happen. A little bit. Like, that, can you imagine that promo Monday after Mania? If Cena comes out with the title?
Yeah.
Lol, Cena wins. drop the mic. Yeah.
Then just leaves, bro. Leaves through. Oh, puts man.
The title with his behind his head. Does the old ECW walkout.
Last time and, is now, and you're done. Oh, Jake, do you think that could happen? What do you think of Matt's theory there?
Yeah, where he just says, "Don't tug on Superman's cape," and he leaves. That would be awesome.
And then you know
that would be so great.
Who? Because there is one thing that I do want to point out about this promo, and then we can wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Cena mentioned that he has beaten everyone. There is a guy that he hadn't beaten in a while, and he was just recently in the ring with. And I'm thinking about CM Punk, and I think CM Punk comes back into this and they run back Money in the Bank. And
absolutely.
That's because it's literally the same story. It's Punk won the belt, left, took his ball and went home. Cena's doing the same thing. He's going to win the belt. He's going to take his ball and go home. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like Punk might win the belt just like he did, you know, like back then in AEW, funny enough, he wins the interim or the real world championship. That'd be crazy. But I'm excited. And this was great. I loved it. I mean, I was glued to my seat the whole promo, and that doesn't happen all the time. I didn't take my eyes off the TV. I wanted to know everything that those men were going to say in the ring. That is good television. As we all know, you know, we've been doing this for the last couple of weeks now, where Jake has been busting out a couple of WCW trading cards that he found in the middle of a cabin in the woods located in the eastern part of Delaware. And which Never is the about. Number that won today, Jake?
I didn't do a poll this week. I wanted to pick a number.
You didn't poll?
I haven't gotten to pick a number this week. Last week, we did number 9, so here we go. I'm going to open up
Hold
the
Hold on
next
one
pack.
Second. Before we do that, it's time for Jake's Retro Rippage. Play the graphic. There it is. Yay. We did it. Wonderful. Okay, go for it, Jake.
Like I said, last week, we did number 9, so here we go. All right. Let's see.
Here's be careful. Be careful because we know that these cards are some of the most valuable cards known to man.
Yeah, maybe I
get
a refractor card.
Oof.
Some go for 75 cents.
Yeah. It's a whole dollar for some of those, Red Rooster cards.
Which is probably more than I paid for them years ago. All right, right off the bat, the Stinger.
Hey, look at that. That's a 65 cent card right there.
I don't think we've had that variation. We got Terry Taylor next.
Nice.
Speaking of the Rooster.
Speaking of.
Mm-hmm. His favorite hold is the five arm.
Five arm, of course.
We're
is.
Back to the five arm, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Next, the Fabulous Freebirds from Bad Street, USA.
All right. There literally are like 8 cards, right? Just in rotation.
Pretty much.
There's like 8 talent just in rotation.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. We got another Mr. Wall Street.
Oh, wow. I don't think we've seen that
highlight.
One.
His highlight is that he's a collegiate champion.
Just of all college. Just the champion of all the collegiates.
Wait a minute. Michael Wall Street. That's his name.
Okay.
Real name.
His name is Michael Street, middle name Wall. Used to wrestle as Captain Mike Rotunda before he became rich. Thanks to a recent inheritance, he wrestles because it's what he likes to do. His goal is to dominate the sport with the help of a strategic weapon. Computers.
Computers, that's crazy.
Computers.
Yo, is he can afford a computer?
Was Michael Wall Street using AI before anyone else knew? Is that what it was? Did he have access?
Was Michael
Skynet?
Wall Street the anonymous Raw GM?
All
right, next. We have Lex Luger next.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. We got a Steiner Brothers.
Steiner Bros.
Whose motto is, it's not my fault?
Is that where
Rick Steiner? It's not my fault?
Is that what they... That's just a lot. Okay. We can make a lot of jokes that are dark.
Another Sting. We've got Flair.
Suited up.
His hobbies, styling and profiling.
As one does, obviously.
Beautiful. Southern Boys.
Hey, we got the boys back. But where's El Higante?
Sid Vicious.
Good, good. Okay. Good big man.
Mid quote, powerbomb. I'm a fuel injected machine. That is his quote on the back of
himself.
That's what I'm unclear about.
Like,
I'm a fuel injected machine.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that from that version of that card. Here's another Southern Boys.
Southern boys.
And then the final one, another Ric Flair.
Mm. There it is. The Nature Boy.
Yeah, so you're right. There's about five people and they just rotate.
I'm a what was that again?
I'm a fuel injected machine.
What the fuck?
I don't even know crazy. What that means. Where is that?
That is wild. WCW was tripping back then. Real talk.
I'm gonna frame that.
No, because he was so
card.
Stiff in the ring that afterward people were like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Hey, that man is a fuel injected machine. I don't want to get. And then someone was like, bro, put that on a card.
Brennan,
that's it, folks.
I'm setting that one to the side. That's one
for the books deeper. Later on. All right, folks. So that's gonna do it for our Friday show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to get involved with our community, join our Discord. You can find the links in the description down below. You can join us there. We got a great community. We chat about all the wrestling things and even some meat sports as well. We got a whole section for that because Jake made. It up. So we got all that going on over there. Make sure you subscribe. And most importantly, shoot sports, brother. I'm sorry about that. Most importantly, tell a friend about the show. We're trying to hit 1,500 subscribers, maybe even 2,000. Yeah. And we appreciate the folks that were tuning into our last episode and stuff and sharing it. It really means the world to us. So thank you so much, everyone. We appreciate you. And we'll see you right back here on Wednesday for some more Rebooked action. Thank you so much for watching. See you then.